And this is, I think, for every educator. We spend a great deal of time focused on which kids didn't master, or these kids are successful here, but I still need to get them here. And that is not a strengths-based conversation necessarily in terms of your own teaching practices. Where have I missed the mark? And we spend a lot of time doing that. And I really, as a coach, want to celebrate people as well. Yes. These students still need to master this, but I want you to look at how much your students have grown. Look, we're already in almost the beginning of November. Look wherever they were in August. Look where we are now. Celebrate some of that student growth and help your students celebrate that growth, because they don't often look at like, oh yeah, I did learn something this week or this month. Or So trying to change that narrative to a positive or strengths-based conversation is really important, so that we don't feel like we're always missing the mark.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Jan Masterson. Jan is the specialist of induction and mentoring, and I'm going to let her explain to you what that is at Leander ISD in Leander, Texas. Jan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I love my job. I love what I do. I work with new teachers. More than anything, I do professional learning for our district, but my focus is on new teachers, whether it be new to district or new to the profession. I want them to love teaching students as much as I love teaching students. And so that's my call. And I came to that through instructional coaching. I have taught elementary, I've taught middle school, and I've taught high school. But I coached for 6 years at a high school, a new high school, and it was interesting to see trends with new teachers in terms of their challenges and their celebrations. So I just segued that to doing that for our district-wide.
So how did that, I mean, it's a title that not a lot, I haven't heard. I'll be honest. It's a title I haven't heard. So how did, I mean, Leander, like I said to you before we went live, I had a podcast with your colleague yesterday, and it just seems like you guys are so forward thinking, because Denise Geiger was the senior transition coordinator for special education. And, you know, that was a great conversation. And here you are, I'm talking to you, and you have this amazing title and are doing amazing things too. So some really innovative things happening there, it sounds like.
We are a very innovative district. I've been very proud to work at Leander. This is my 20th year here, and I had been at a district in Houston area prior to that. We really do have a focus on student learning, and we really do have a focus on what's right for kids. And that's why I'm still here. That's why I'm still here. And I love working with Denise, by the way.
Good. That's awesome.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great conversation. And it takes a village, right? You know, she's doing what she's doing, you're doing what you're doing, and that all of those pieces are needed in order for, and I love the fact that you guys pay attention to the fact that your teachers need mentoring. One of the things we do at Lighthouse is we have a mentor. Every single therapist that comes to us has a mentor. And I always tell people, it's for us, it doesn't matter if you've been a therapist for 5 minutes or 500 years, you still need a mentor, because we want to make sure you're doing it the Lighthouse way. So the fact that you guys recognize that your new teachers need this support, because it's a hard job, and it's a hard job that doesn't always pay well. And it's a hard job that gets, we get a lot of abuse, and it's really not fair. You know, so I love that.
It's not a profession that's respected in the way it was maybe when I started, or in the way it used to be, but it's still, people are called to teach. And really work with kids and stay in it. And I always say everybody deserves a coach. I don't care what role you've achieved, you still need to improve your craft. And so that mentoring piece is helping that new teacher get acclimated. A lot of teaching is learning on the job. It's trial by fire. Even if you've had adequate prep to be in the classroom, it's still learning, like you're learning to fly the plane as you're flying the plane. And so everybody deserves that person that can help them get better, or lean into when I feel like I'm not doing well. Because just like our students stay engaged in the classroom when they feel successful. And it's the same for our teachers. If they are feeling that self-efficacy, they stay with the profession. It's sustainable. And you can't do this alone. One of the things we say in Leander a lot, it's a hashtag for us, is better together. It is not something we can silo and do well. It is a team sport. Teaching is a team sport. So when I work with teachers and I work with mentors who mentor those teachers, I really emphasize collaboration. And we have a belief system in professional learning communities for collaborating, but it goes beyond just your maybe it's your eighth grade team or your biology team. It goes beyond that.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that you guys have better together because we're brighter together. I love that. That's fantastic.
Good combination.
It's a great combination. So, and one of the things that there was a term, and now my brain is going to not tell me exactly what it is, but it's like, you know, when you've imposter syndrome, there we go. It took me a minute, but I'm sure that that's a piece. And I'd never heard that term until, like this year, you know, it just wasn't, I don't know if it's a relatively new term or what, but are you seeing that with teachers? Is that a part of what you're dealing with, do you think, or no?
Not so much. Not that I've actually used that term, imposter okay. syndrome. What I am seeing, if you go back to maybe the experience we had with teachers, teachers went to school to be educators. There was, you know, College of Education. And we had teachers who had a student teaching experience. That climate has changed a lot and dramatically so in the last 4 or 5 years. We still have teachers who go to college to be teachers. They do their student teaching. That was their focus. But we also have a much larger influx of people who got a degree in something they're passionate about, whether it be physics or math or English. And now they're bringing that to the education world. So they're not coming by way of teaching in some of the traditional formats that we used to think about teachers coming. A lot of times it's a second career. For example, right now, computer science has kind of got a little bit of an overload on the market. And we've seen some friends say, you know what? I love computer science. I wonder if I should teach others about computer science. So they're coming to us from second careers or this is their passion. They want to share it with children. And so they're getting alternatively certified. Nothing wrong with that. This is actually my second career and I'm alternative certification. But with that, we're learning some of those pedagogy skills along the way in how we manage students, how we look at student growth and student learning. And so that's really where the support comes in, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder about the imposter piece versus maybe I'm just not there yet. But right. The reality is they're in front of kiddos, right? And if you're in front of students, we need you to be there. So right. how do you push all that information into an adult in a short amount of time? Mm-hmm. And it's an overload.
Yeah. But having a position like what you're doing, at least they and I shouldn't even say at least, but they have an opportunity to know that there are people that support them and back what they're doing and a place to go, you know.
That's really it. So if you are working with students and you're struggling with, I don't know, maybe a strategy to help a struggling student, right? And there's some challenges. Having that vulnerability to ask somebody, I need help. I can't mm-hmm. reach all students. And then having that go-to person to get that help, right? Mm-hmm. It's really more than one person. We hope that you're looking at everybody around you as your team that is backing you in that endeavor. Yeah. But in our district, we believe each and every child should have the opportunity to learn and be met where they are. Well, if I'm new at teaching, that's hard. I may not have all the tools in my tool belt to do that, right? But mm-hmm. my purpose is to say, hey, you don't have to have all the tools today because there's somebody to back you up, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always tell my people too, the other thing that we say here, and we say this to everyone, is there is no stupid question. The only stupid question is the one that you don't ask. So I was always the one in the front of the classroom with my hand up asking the question, because I'm like, if I have the question, someone else has the question. And I've never been afraid to, you know, look stupid.
That's
in front
really
of others.
That's really the key, because I spend time on campus coaching with new teachers, and the ones who are struggling with me right now, this moment, and the ones I've visited this week are the ones that I've got this. I've got uh-huh. this, and they're kind of closed off. And I know it's hard because you have that fear of looking like you don't know what you're doing, but we can't know all the things, right? So that's where I'm struggling is when I've got somebody who's like, I don't need help. And it goes to the, it's the same, a lot of my job working with teachers is the same as when I was working with my students. You build a relationship first. You don't get kids to learn without a relationship. And the same applies for adults, really. A lot of the things that work with students, providing things in chunks and not all at once, works with my teachers as well. It's some of the same things apply to adult learning that we apply to student learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And having, knowing that you're not going to always have a perfect day every single time, you know, and one of the things I saw too, that you were talking about before was getting kids ready to learn. I noticed that was a passion of yours as well.
It is. And that goes again back to relationships, accepting where they come in and, you know, not every kid's going to have the same background experiences. It's a craft that you definitely grow over time, right? Mm-hmm. One of my frustrations as well, and this is, I think, for every educator, we spend a great deal of time focused on which kids didn't master, or these kids are successful here, but I still need to get them here. And that is not a strengths-based conversation necessarily in terms of your own teaching practices. Where have I missed the mark? And we spend a lot of time doing that. And I really, as a coach, want to celebrate people as well. Yes, these students still need to master this, but I want you to look at how much your students have grown. Look, we're already in almost the beginning of November. Look wherever they were in August. Look where we are now. Celebrate some of that student growth and help your students celebrate that growth, because they don't often look at like, oh, yeah, I did learn something this week or this month. Or so trying to change that narrative to a positive or strengths-based conversation is really important so that we don't feel like we're always missing the mark.
Right. And I've heard that so many times too. Parents have, you know, you go to an IEP meeting or an ARD meeting, as we call them in Texas, and the only thing they hear is what's wrong with their child. And it's so important that we say, here's the amazing things your child can do. You know, there are things your child can do, and we're proud of them. The other thing that I have always told parents, and I think I've said this on the show before, is it's really hard to see that progress. And I think this is true of all of us. It's hard to see the amount of progress. Yes, you can see numbers on a graph and all of that. But I always tell parents, especially kids that have articulation delays or language delays or something like that, I always say, take a 5 or 10 minute video of your child right now at the beginning of the school year, right after this IEP meeting or whatever, so that you can then go back at the end of the semester, or at the end of the school year, when we come back, and look at that and look at your child now. And it's dramatic what you see. But we as human beings don't always see that, because we're with them day after day after. And teachers are the same way. We're with them every day. So we don't always see it. And it is powerful. It is really powerful.
It is very powerful. And that's something, we've got a strategic plan in Leander. And part of that strategic plan is to work more on deeper learning for students, so that's it's something that they hold and apply their learning. But the other piece to that strategic plan is student ownership of learning. And really, I would say adult ownership with that as well. But if we put things into play, like goal setting, tracking, and not to track scores necessarily, but I think of like a writing journal. And I, as a student who started writing in first grade, and I have this journal and I have this piece of evidence that I can look at the end of second grade, no matter where I am. Mm-hmm. I may not be the top student in this class, but I can see growth from August to May. And so that student ownership piece we find is really key to helping kids focus on their learning and not where I am compared to somebody else, right? And look, I saw growth. And that, again, going back to that self-efficacy, I'm going to stay engaged with learning because I have recognized that I do know something I didn't know before, especially for our kids who struggle, that it's sad, before they even leave elementary school, they've already determined I'm not good at this. And so they start opting out. And so getting them out of that comparison mode and looking at, yes, you grew. Doesn't matter where anybody else grew. This is where you grew. And then you talked earlier about having discussions with parents. Gosh, that's hard. Difficult conversations. I'm always telling teachers, when you're having a difficult conversation, everything should be focused on student learning. It's not about you or me, about student learning. And especially for some of my young teachers who don't have kids of their own yet, think, is this something that might be hard to hear? Like, is this something that's a phone call versus an email, or an in-person conversation versus a phone call? Because they want to hear that you A, know their student, and B, that there's that care in your voice, right? But those hard conversations, really focusing on a skills base, focusing on student learning, we can have hard conversations.
There is a crisis in this country, a massive shortage of special education teachers. We know how devastating this can be for your students, families, and staff. Lighthouse Therapy places experienced special education teachers in virtual, hybrid, and on-site roles, and we handle everything from hiring to onboarding to mentorship. These aren't just placements, they're professionals who understand compliance, collaboration, and care. Let us help you fill in the gaps with special education teachers who really understand. We are here to help. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to connect with us today.
Yeah. And I love the ownership piece of it too, because if you can have a child see, you know, where, what they're doing and where they're going, you know, it's like anything else. If you give me direction, and I have a goal, I'm a goal setter. Always have been. And I've always said to my team, it's not a goal if you don't write it down. It just isn't. And there's research right? to back that up so many times. Yeah, they're all on my wall behind me. But they just, you know, and we at Lighthouse, we have annual goal setting meetings. So what are we going to do in the next school year? Because, you know, everything is school-based every school year, right? But then we also do quarterly goals, and we look at what is our annual goal and what are we going to do this quarter to help us to reach that annual goal. And that is, I mean, and it's the entrepreneurial operating system. It's not something that I developed, but I read the book, Gina Wickman. It's called Traction. If you know that book, it's a great book. And actually, I can't even take credit for like being the one who found the book. My director of marketing, Mark Wallenwein, had used that system for years and was using it already in his department. And then I was like, okay, well, let me read that book. And then it was like, okay, yeah, well, let's do that. Cause I was already doing goals. It firmed up for us a plan. It gave us a very clear pathway to making sure the right people are in the right seats and making sure that our goals are goals that are, you know, smart goals and all of that stuff. So
are they attainable and a reasonable amount of time? All those things matter. Mm-hmm. I think something we've done with kids, because I remember starting out as a teacher, they wanted you to write the objective on the board. And it was in this language that had to do with the state standards. And I'm like, do kids mm-hmm. even really connect with that? And what's the point of me writing this? But I did it because that's what my principal asked. And as I evolved it as a teacher and now as a leader of teachers, it's even that daily goal setting in a format where students, I can add 2-digit numbers, or I can recognize the subatomic structure of an atom. What is it in student terms I'm going to do just today? And providing that instructional filter, if you will, for a kid is a game changer. And there's a lot of teachers that will still push back, well, they don't read my board, and why do I need to do this? Let's say a student walks in and they've been to the orthodontist and they're 20 minutes into the class period. It's really hard for them to engage in the learning because they're kind of just playing catch up the whole time. Mm-hmm. But if they have a place they can go and see, oh, I have 40 minutes left. I need to accomplish this, right?
Right.
It's something tangible for them. So I really work a lot on give students the instructional framework of their learning that day. And the kid who's struggling will know, I don't need to write down everything, but oh, this connects to my I can today. This mm-hmm. is what I need to write down. Just providing that filter for them and their learning makes a lot of difference. And there's a lot of research. And it was just reading this. Marzano was one of them, but there was another one I was reading about just that instructional filter and that target for them. the level of engagement is almost twofold, right? Just because they know what they're supposed to be doing as opposed mm-hmm. to where am I going with this? Yeah. And here's the thing, when we start out teaching, we don't know all that research. We still have work to do and get better at our craft.
Yeah, you and I didn't get to where we were overnight. So if you're a new teacher, it's okay. It is okay. You know, I've been an SLP for 31 years, and I know you've been doing this for probably just about as long, right?
Just about as long, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and it's the person and the professional that I am today. I mean, even the CEO, you want to talk about imposter syndrome, you know, start a company and you think you label yourself as a CEO, and it's like, okay, do I really know what that means? I mean, I'm a CEO now. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not a CEO like some other people are CEOs. CEOs, but I am a CEO at my company and the way that we do things, and have very much confidence in that. But I got lots of smart people around me. And as an educator and as somebody who's new, that's what you do. You find other smart people. You listen to Jan. You listen to the people that are around you, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to try to step out, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Like I said, there's no stupid questions. So ask questions, yeah, because it matters.
At the end of the day, it's about kids. So
yeah,
you know, and something you said about leadership is, and by the way, I don't have all the answers when I'm working mm-hmm. with teachers, but I can look to others who can collaborate with me. But I also feel about an emphasis on leaders who are leading, whether it be the principal, the assistant principal, the curriculum director, whoever that is, those instructional leaders need to be strong instructional leaders, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And sometimes we can be really good at logistics or operational pieces to the school system. But are we also good at operational and instructional? And mm-hmm. and that's, to me, a real focus as well for our district in terms of, are we instructional leaders? Because we're talking about students and their learning, and mm-hmm. and it's everything with their learning. Do they feel safe? Do they feel supported? Do they feel like they can connect and it's relevant to them? All those pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so critical. And you don't have to have, you said that you don't have to have all the answers today. You absolutely do not.
And I don't.
Yeah. And none of us do. None of us do. You know, we continue to do what we do, and we continue to strive to do the best. And the other piece of it too, and I love this, and I think you've kind of touched on it, is every single time that you try, for, you know, your teachers are trying, you're impacting those kids. Whether you think you are or not, those little tiny wins, you may never, ever hear about them. Or it may be 20 years and they come back to you and say, you were my favorite teacher and you didn't even know. Because sometimes kids are the same way. They don't want to look like they don't know, or they've got this facade that they've put on. But if you continue to step into caring about them and loving on them and helping them to be successful, boy, those are game changers.
Those are the things they remember. And it's funny, that's the piece that I can't help a new teacher understand. Gosh, and I wouldn't have guessed this when I started teaching. I was about 10 years into teaching. And, you know, we always apologize to our first group of kids we've ever taught. But I had a young man from that first group of kids I ever taught reached out to me. It was probably almost 10 years later. And of course, if you are graduated and you're 18, you can connect with me on social media. That's fine. And he sent me this long message through social media of something I said to him that year that impacted how he wanted to be as an adult. I can tell you, I had no recollection until he brought mm-hmm. it up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I kind of remember that conversation. It was very impactful for him. And it was about me encouraging him to not cut corners, because, you know, I tell my kids all the time, you wouldn't be here if you knew all the things, and I wouldn't have a job if you knew all the things. But this gift that I'm going to give you of knowing information, nobody can take that away from you.
No. Yeah.
And so, just that's the piece of teaching that is such a joy. I've now gone to weddings and baby showers, and I loved my kids, and I love seeing them as grown adults and thriving. And sometimes it's the kiddos. Last year, I ran into one of my students who struggled a good bit in middle school. I taught middle school more than I taught anything else. And I saw him as an adult working in a store, and I'm like, wow, you made it. And mm-hmm. he he had everything stacked against him when he was 14 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here he was, and I was so proud to see him. Yeah. So happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what your job is. Education is the way out. Education is the way up. It is the way to move forward. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a four-year degree either. You know, you can educate yourself. I've learned so much about running a business, not because I have a master's degree in speech pathology. I learned that. School of hard knocks. We just, you know, you go in and you do it and you keep doing it and you have your passion and your goals and you just keep stepping into it. You just do. And that's for teachers too. It's like, just keep doing it. Keep loving on those kids because you are making a difference. And because,
Will they remember in 10 years, not whether I taught them multiplication or whether I taught them about geology, they're not going to remember that. They're going to remember how they felt about learning in that mm-hmm. space. That's
and,
what they're
and the
remember.
Fact that you cared about them, not just their test score, their number or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. People hold on to that. They really do. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, that's what's hard to teach a new teacher.
Yeah.
Being nice to students or knowing your students are completely different
mm-hmm.
and understanding that, how that affects their learning. That's just a hard one for me to teach.
But that's a good one. That's a really good one. And even just saying it, people, you just hear it. Sometimes you just have to hear it. Hear it again. Right. Yeah. And sometimes that's what mentoring is. Sometimes you just have to keep reminding them of what the end goal is. And, you know, that there are steps to that process. So,
yeah.
So Jan, where do people go to learn more about Leander ISD and maybe find you on, are you on their website?
Gosh, I'm. Don't know for sure if I'm on the website. It's a great question. I am in the professional learning team. So if you find your way to that, yeah. So Leander does have a website. There's a lot of information there. It's just a really great place to bring a child, and it's a great place to work. But yeah, we have a Leander website. Trying to think. There's, you know, we have a few things out there with our communications crew on social media and you know, news, but hopefully all good things.
Yeah. And Leander, for those of you that don't know, it's L-E-A-N-D-E-R, Leander.
Yes.
Leander, Texas.
Suburb of Boston, so. But definitely, you would cover 200 square miles. Would not think that. It was a little bitty town 20 years ago, and here we are, you know, this really big suburban area.
Yeah. You guys have like 40,000 about students?
Yeah, about 42,000 kids, 48 schools. It's a lot. And still growing.
Yeah. Yeah. Texas is definitely growing. There's no doubt about that for sure.
And yeah. And just adjusting, we have over 65 languages spoken in our schools. I
wow.
know, right? So there's yeah. so much opportunity and growth and attracting all people.
Okay. Last question. So if you could just miraculously fix one thing. I've asked this question before. You're chuckling, so you probably heard it before. But if you could, just one thing in your sphere, you know, and we always say it can't be money because everybody needs more money. Every school I know needs more money. But if you could fix, just miraculously fix one thing, what would that one thing be?
Gosh, the perception of what educators really do.
Amen.
In a day.
Mm-hmm.
That perception of it looks easy from the outside. And the decision making and the resources and the research in just one single day of an educator is huge. And I would love to change the perception of an educator.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that would change a lot of what happens on social media and on the media itself.
And funding and everything.
That would be great. And you know, we are doing that one podcast at a time from our little corner of the world. We are definitely doing it. And I'm grateful that people like you are willing to come on and talk about the amazing things that are happening in your world, because it you know, and as I've said many times, we are educating the next generation, and we need them to know that they are cared for, that they are loved, and that we want them to be successful no matter where they come from, no matter what their plans are. We want them to be and to know that they can. They absolutely can do it.
Yeah. They are safe here. They are loved here, and we want them to grow. If they just mm-hmm. walk away with that, I'm happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And 1,000%. So thank you, Jan. Thank you again for being on Writer Together.
Thank you. It was a lovely experience. Thank you so much.